Bibles to John chapter 12. I invite you to turn to John chapter 12. And we're just going to look at a section of Scripture, the first 8 verses in John chapter 12. And I want to impress on you this decision. You should give your life entirely in worship to God. You should give your life entirely in worship to God. Once you get to John chapter 12, we'll pray and then we'll continue on. All right, let's pray this evening. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I thank you for your unchanging word, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us understand it, that illumines our minds as we read it. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just send the Holy Spirit, Lord, and help me to preach. Lord, help all of us to listen and to apply it to our hearts, the truths that are contained in your word. Lord, hide me behind you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I just want to look at these first 8 verses and ask those 5 scientific questions: who, where, when, what, and why. Pretty simple. So there's my outline. If you want to write it down, it's who, where, when, what, and why. And what is going to be the biggest section, just to warn you there. But let's read the first 8 verses, and then we'll get into it. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised up from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of her ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. You should give your life entirely in worship to God. The first point I want to look at who. Who's in this passage? Well, we see Mary, who brought the pound of ointment. This is the same Mary that sat at the feet of Jesus back in Luke chapter 10. Let's turn over there just for a brief moment. I want to look at one facet of that. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. This is the Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, that sat at the feet of Jesus. Verse 38, Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, that was Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. And you know the story of Martha. She was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The good part that Mary chose was to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. This is the Mary that we're looking at, the one that brought the pound of ointment of spikenard and anointed Jesus in John chapter 12. Lazarus, her brother, was the one that was raised from the dead. You also find Jesus Christ in this story, and you find the disciples, one of them specifically Judas Iscariot. So there's who. Where? Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. When? A few days before Jesus Christ would give his life to die, to be buried, and to rise again for your sin and for mine. This is the time right before the Passion Week when Jesus came and was anointed by Mary. All right, what? Now we're getting down to it. What was this gift that Mary brought to Jesus Christ? What did he anoint him with? What did she anoint him with? I'm sorry. It was a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now, this is a perfume made out of a plant native to India, is what I found. But it's a perfume, basically. I brought a little bottle of cologne as an illustration, so I'll be using that a little bit later. There's very little left in this, and I'm not going to break it, so don't worry about that. But it's a perfume. It was in an alabaster box, which is a container that was probably carved. It's made out of a mineral not unlike what they use for drywall today. Now, it wasn't that powdery. They wouldn't make a container out of drywall today, but it was a container they used to store things such as perfume, other costly liquids like that. Well, Mary brought a pound of this ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary brought this perfume that she had. It was often used on very special occasions to, you know, smell good. Now, I mean, nowadays, I think most of us, you know, wear deodorant. I mean, it's probably a good thing. I mean, it's a bad day when it's a hot summer day and, you know, someone who hasn't showered in a while sits down next to you, and you might love them, but sometimes it's a little harder when they're so close. But, you know, they would use perfumes like this on special occasions. And Jesus Christ said that she saved this for her burying. He said in verse 7, "Against the day of my burying has she kept this." I believe that she believed in her heart that Jesus Christ would one day be buried, and she saved this ointment to give as a gift to him before that day. It's a gift. Mary broke that box, which is an act that she can never undo. Now, this is Adidas. It's called Moves Him, apparently. I guess they make it a Moves Her. I don't know. That's the name of this cologne. But I had a bottle of this one time several years ago when I was traveling for the college, and I was in a hotel, and I was getting ready in, you know, those tiny hotel bathrooms where the sink is about that wide. It's barely big enough to put your toothbrush on it, let alone anything else. And so I had set all my, you know, my shaving kit and all the things that I was carrying. I put that on the lid of the toilet. Now, the lid of the toilet was not flat. It was a little bit rounded. And in the course of getting ready that morning, I brushed up against all the stuff I had, and I knocked it to the floor. And instantly I knew, oh, this is not a good day. Because I smelled this just permeating that tiny hotel room. It was enough to knock you out. And it was probably about 5:30 in the morning. We had to get up early to get on to the next church that day. And it reeked. I was the first person up, and I'm like, oh. I tried to clean it up as much as I could so the other guys didn't have to put up with it. But that was something that could never be undone. I mean, the glass bottle, just like this one, was completely shattered. The perfume or the cologne was all over the floor in the bathroom. It was really strong. But it's something I could not undo. You know, as much as I would want to, I couldn't glue all those glass pieces back together, sop up all the cologne, and put it back in there. It's impossible. But that's what Mary did. She broke that alabaster box. We find it isn't an alabaster box in two parallel passages in Matthew 26 and in Mark 14. But she broke that alabaster box, never to be repaired again. Now let me ask you, how many times can you live your life? Just once. We can never undo what we have done in the past. No matter how much we would want to, no matter how much I wanted to put that cologne bottle back together, I couldn't do it. And no matter what decisions we've made in the past, we can't go back and undo them. We only have from now to the end of our life. That's all that we have left. And I want to ask you and beseech you to give the rest of your life entirely in worship to God. Mary broke open this box. She gave it all for Jesus Christ that day. You know, others can see when you give your life to God. Other people can see that. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I mean, everybody there knew what Mary had done, and they saw what she did. Let's look at man's perspective of giving your life to God. People are going to be able to tell. They can see whether you have or whether you haven't. They might not agree with you, but they can tell whether you've given your life entirely to God. It shows up in the way that you live. If you hold God's word as an authority in your life, or as the authority in your life, you say, I'm going to live my life by biblical principle. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear God's word preached. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to read God's word and let it affect me. That's going to change the way we live. And people are going to see that. When we go out on a visitation, I've heard it probably 50 to 100 times here. People say, oh, you're out. You're out for your church. You know, you're out for God. That's great. Keep it up, you know. And I have no idea where their hearts are, whether they're faithful to a church or not, whether they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I hear people all the time say, you know, that's good that you're doing that for God. But, you know, people can tell if you're living your life for God. But more than one of these onlookers saw Mary's gift as a waste. One of the passages, I think it's in Matthew, it says that the disciples were indignant, and they said, why was a waste of this perfume made? It was more than just Judas Iscariot. But Judas criticized Mary's action. You know, criticism spreads easier than softened butter on warm toast. It's like bitterness. It can seep its way through a church, through a college campus. When you're around someone who's criticizing someone else or something else, I know from personal experience, it's so easy to pick up on that criticism and just kind of feed off each other and just make it worse. But Judas probably led the charge in criticizing Mary. He said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" The Apostle John, when he wrote this, with the benefit of hindsight and the inspiration and omniscience of the Holy Spirit, he commented on his criticism. And he said that it wasn't because Judas cared for the poor that he complained, but because he was a thief and he had the bag. Judas voiced his criticism because of greed, selfish desire. He wanted to see that perfume sold for 300 pence and make a little profit by siphoning a little bit of that away. Even if some of it did go off to the poor, he wanted to siphon a little off into his own pocket. 300 pence was probably approximately the wage of a laborer for 300 days of work. I guess that's comparable to minimum wage today. And I figured out if you work for an entire year at minimum wage, you'll come out to about the same amount as what it would cost to buy 16 ounces of gold. That's a pound of gold. How many of you like to have that? That's great, but that's approximately, I'm guessing, equating it to today's currency, today's economic system, it would be about worth a pound of gold of what Mary gave that day to Jesus Christ. Never to be put back in that box, but just given to worship God. But Judas, he complained because of greed and because he was a thief. He wanted a little bit of that was gone. Spent on Jesus Christ, he didn't profit at all. You know, the first thief you can find, or maybe more of a wannabe thief, would be Satan. He was the one who looked at God's glory and he said, "I'm going to be like the Most High." He wanted some of the glory that rightfully belongs to God for himself. And it was his selfish desire, his greed for glory, that drove Satan to raise his heart against God. And is what ended up in him being cast out of heaven. But Judas was borrowing some of this greed that Satan showed. He was a thief. You know, greed can borrow the coat of good things. Judas looks at this, and with a greedy motive, he says, "We could have given that to the poor." Now, wouldn't that be a good thing to do? I believe it is good to help out those in need. And even the Jews were commanded to give to the poor and to allow part of their field to, you know, be harvested by poor people that would come through and glean. But greed can borrow the cloak of a good thing. But let me ask you, should we spend our lives? Should we break our alabaster box, the life that we can never put back together again? Should we spend our life, our entire existence, trying to fulfill our selfish desires? Should we have a mindset of Judas, a mindset of a thief, saying, "I want glory for myself. I want to fulfill my own desires. I want to sell my life, so to speak, to fulfill my desires"? Or do we want to anoint the name of Jesus Christ in the world around us? Do we want to spend our life making the name of Jesus Christ smell sweet to those around us? That is what Mary did here in the house. She anointed the feet of Jesus Christ because she loved him. But man's perspective, they're going to be able to tell, and many times many will criticize. They'll say, "Oh, you should live your life for something else. You should spend that for something else, not for church." Come on, who does that nowadays? But Mary, she humbly came and gave her most valuable possession, that alabaster box, the thing she could never put back together again. She gave it completely to Jesus Christ. Young people, if you have not given your life to God, I would challenge you. Spend it for God rather than spend it on yourself. You can never spend it twice. Man's perspective on giving. What about God's perspective? Well, we see in verse 7, "Then said Jesus, 'Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always.'" I would challenge you to live in the place where God can defend you and defend your actions. And that place is when you've given your life entirely in worship to God. When you can stand on Scripture and say, "Thus saith the Lord, and thus I did." by obeying Scripture, you can live in the place where God can defend you. Let's look over at Romans 12 quickly. Romans chapter 12, the chapter that begins that says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That same idea of giving your life entirely to God. Look towards the end of the chapter in verse 17. Here's the end of a laundry list, so to speak, of commands that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is giving us. In verse 17, these are some commands that a person whose life is entirely given to God, this is how it's going to look. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Live in the place where God can defend you, where you don't have to defend yourself, but you can say, God tells me to live honest in the sight of all men, and that's why I decided to make that choice the way I did. Live in the place where God can defend you. But what is another perspective that God had was Jesus Christ called it a good work in Matthew 26:10. And that word work, or that word good, can also be translated beautiful or wholesome. God considers a life given to him a beautiful thing, something that can be used. Let's let God determine what is good, not man. But you know, Mary, when she gave this gift, she did it humbly. We find in 1 Corinthians that God calls the hair of a woman her glory. Mary took that which is called her glory and used it to wipe the feet of her Creator, the Lord and Savior. We ought to take any glory that may be ascribed to us and deflect it right back to God for all that He hath done for us. We need to give our lives entirely in worship to God. When you're out visiting and someone says, you're doing a great thing, no, God has done a great thing, and I'm just here to serve Him and lift Him up. But she worshipped Him in humility. In Philippians 2:5-10, we find that God exalted Jesus Christ, who took upon Him a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But God highly exalted Jesus Christ. And I believe in a small way, Mary was exalted by God as she broke open her most valuable treasure and gave it humbly to Jesus Christ. Our lives can be lived but once. And we break open that box that cannot be repaired or reused. Do we do it for ourselves? Do we, so to speak, sell our lives for this world to meet our selfish desires? Or do we give it as a gift to God to worship Him? Seek to make decisions in your life, practical everyday decisions that have eternal rewards, not decisions that lead to earthly relaxation. We should be looking beyond just today, beyond our desires, to worship Christ with our life. Jim Elliot said this famous quote, "He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." None of us can keep our lives. We can either spend it on ourselves or give it to God in worship. That is the gift that Mary gave to God, humbly, giving her glory and submitting it to God. That is the what. And why? What prompted Mary to give this costly gift? Some commentators say because it's of the thanks that she had to Jesus Christ for raising her brother Lazarus from the dead. And that could have been a part of it. She preserved this alabaster box for this time when he would be buried. She gave it out of thanks to Jesus because he would die and be buried for her. She gave this gift in faith, believing that he would be crucified, that he would be buried, and that he would rise again. And she gave this gift out of thanks to Jesus for giving his life for her, but also for love, out of love for Jesus. We know from Luke 10, as we read earlier, that she spent time listening to the Master teach. When you spend time with Jesus Christ, you will find it natural to love him and to spend your life for him. Why did Mary give this gift? Out of thanks for what he was going to do, and out of love. And we can give our lives in worship to God. We can live our lives by the Word of God because of our thanks for him, for what he already has done, and for our love for him. And as we spend more time getting to know him in his word, we're going to find ourselves loving him more and more, and finding it so natural to live our lives entirely given to God. So let me ask you, have you broken your life for the Lord, or are you trying to peddle it in this world? Are you living for earthly relaxation or for eternal rewards? I would ask you, brothers and sisters, I'm only 23 years old, but I believe that God is asking us, showing us an example here in John 12 of a woman who gave something that she could never put back together again, something that she could never reclaim for herself. She submitted her glory to God, to God's glory, and brought a sweet smell to his name by anointing him. I would just challenge you to live your life entirely for the worship of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the passage of Scripture. Lord, and I pray that you would help each one of us to live our lives entirely for you. Lord, that we would not try to sell our lives to this world, Lord, and for our own greed, our selfish desires, but that we would just give them to you, Lord, for our love for you and thanks for what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to use this scripture in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we would determine to live more for you, Lord, and less for ourselves. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.